Yo, yo, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. We will talk some Michigan quarterback coming up this hour. Also, delve into what the heck Scott Frost was doing over this weekend. But first, we're going to play a little game here. Hickey's going to give me a quarterback that transferred this past year and now is starting for their new team and is already finding a way to make themselves known in their new home. And I'm going to give you my expectations or my thoughts on that player and on that quarterback in four words or less, and then we'll expand off the four words or less and have a little dialogue on this. So hot take, Hickey, give me all a little music here. I'm not even going to ask for it. Look at you. Fresh off the weekend, probably getting yelled by your girlfriend left and right because you just ditched her and had your fantasy football draft. And on Saturday night, you wanted to go watch Colts preseason football instead of hang out with your girlfriend who was out of town for a week. So I didn't think you were going to be all locked in, all ready to go, all mentally prepared for this show. And I didn't really want to put too much on your plate, so I didn't have really any expectations of greatness from you today. And you may have just changed that thought on a Monday when I am here for the entire week hosting shows now Monday through Thursday in this time slot, and then on Friday I'll be on TV and radio an hour earlier, or a show earlier from 3 to 6 p.m. But I was surprised that you were on your game today with that music. Good job.
Story of my life, undersell, overdeliver.
You do undersell yourself.
Keep the expectations low.
No, but you undersell yourself too much. You know, I go after you, but when I go after you, I think it's to keep you in line and try to find those areas of greatness that exist inside of you and get them out of you and have that displayed on the radio to heard to all of our affiliates around the country, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. But I think you're sometimes too tough on yourself.
I'll lighten up. I'll be my best promoter on your guidance. Just remember, you asked for this. You asked for it.
Well, to a certain point, if you start telling me that you're the Mike Francesa, the next Mike Francesa of radio, or Christopher Mad Dog Russo, or whoever that host may be, Dan Patrick, whatever host you may want to say, then I will keep that ego
in
check.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I caused this. Right. I have no one who met it but myself, and I'm talking as Zach Gelb, not Ryan Hickey.
It's sometimes, it's not a lot. There's sometimes I can be in the wrong. On this one, I don't get how this is my fault, and I'll just put all the blame on you. I'm just trying to make you the best version of yourself, and we'll see what happens. Anyway, four words or less. Let's go.
Start in Pitt. We had him on the show last week. Keaton Slovis, what are your expectations?
Expecting big things. That's what I'm going to say on Keaton Slovis. Now I'll give you the explanation. Keaton Slovis, in that bizarre year of 2019 when he was third in the depth chart, then all those injuries happened, he put up a season where he had 30 touchdowns and 9 interceptions at USC. Then you had the bizarre COVID year, and last year he got hurt. There was all that surrounding Clay Helton. We know Clay Helton got fired early into the season. Now you go to Pitt, and not that this Pitt team is the greatest program ever, but Pitt's coming off an ACC championship. Narduzzi has been a good coach, and he's coming off his best moment since being at Pitt. And you're taking over for Kenny Pickett. I know your best wide receiver has now gone to your old home in USC. But I look at Keaton Slovis, who had a lot of buzz about him last year. Potential first-round pick. Heisman watch kind of guy. I think you will see the Keaton Slovis more so of 2019 than you did from 2021. And I'm expecting big things for him.
Speaking of 2021, Caleb Williams had a very nice year at Oklahoma. He's now the starter for USC. What are your expectations for Caleb Williams?
Go meet the hype. Those are the four words or less that I'll say about Caleb Williams. You get your big wide receiver. You now have the continuity, even though you changed programs with Lincoln Riley going from Norman, Oklahoma, all the way out to Southern California. And this was a guy that replaced the old quarterback that we'll get to in a bit in Spencer Rattler for you last year. And you guys had some success. Now, though, you're embarking on this journey of restoring and bringing back USC. And fair or not, in your number one, the expectation is going to win the is go out there and win the Pac-12. I slightly think Utah, with Whittingham and Cam Rising, is the better team overall. And we know they have a really good defense, even though they lost some talent on that defense. But for USC, anything short of winning the Pac-12 this year by that fan base is going to perceive as, okay, they didn't meet expectations. So I want to see if USC and your number one can go meet the hype with Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams.
He's got a big mullet, a big beard, and now he's in the big chair at Texas. How about Quinn Ewers?
Beat out Arch now. And you may be saying, Zach, Arch Manning isn't with the program yet. He committed. He's not going to play a game this year. He's not even on the roster this year. He's not even at the school yet. If Quinn Ewers has a dominant year this year, and if Quinn Ewers gets Texas fans to start to think with Sark, we're back, and he balls out this year, yes, there'll still be a quarterback competition this summer, but Quinn Ewers essentially would have won the quarterback competition by the way that he plays this year. Now, if he falls flat on his face or he doesn't give you that feeling that he should be the starter next year, then the Arch Manning buzz, which is inevitable to grow and inevitable to be present, will grow and be heard from louder and a lot sooner than what Texas may plan.
In four words or less, what are you expecting from new Oklahoma quarterback Dylan Gabriel?
Win the Big 12. Oklahoma, I know a new head football coach in Brent Venables, and he could have got a head coaching job years ago, but he wanted to stay and be number two at Clemson and be the highest paid assistant coach in the country. He's now going to Oklahoma, even though they just lost Lincoln Riley. People think they're going to take a step back. I think Brent Venables could step right into a Big 12, which I like Baylor a lot, the reigning champions. Baylor's very good. But Dylan Gabriel has been a good quarterback, was a good quarterback at UCF. And I know UCF's now going to the Big 12, and it's a jump in competition from the American Athletic Conference to the Big 12. But the AAC has put a lot of players in the league the last few years, and they've had a lot of success out of those non-Power 5 schools. But for Dylan Gabriel, you got to go win the Big 12 this year. Because, Ryan, you're a college football aficionado. Who are you picking to win the Big 12 this year? I think Oklahoma has a great chance. It's really, for me, between Oklahoma and Baylor.
I'm going Oklahoma.
You are?
Yes.
Okay, so go win the Big 12.
How about Bo Nix, Oregon?
Average to me. Dan Lanning, year number one. Bo Nix at Auburn. He's had some good moments, but then also some bad moments. I never looked, and I don't know about you, Ryan, I never looked at Bo Nix as that guy, as that wonderful football player. And I just think he's an average quarterback to me.
Very inconsistent. Drives you crazy. Can't be relied on.
Wasn't it the game up against Oregon? It may have been a few years ago, where Bo Nix was not good early on, and then he had that game-winning drive late up against Oregon to open up the college football season.
Career start 2019 against Oregon. Yeah. He was terrible in that game. He was awful.
Yeah.
Until that last touchdown pass.
And then look how that works. All these years later, he's no longer at Auburn, and now he's going to be a duck.
Full circle.
Next QB, let's hit it.
Guy on the show earlier, Spencer Rattler in the summer at South Carolina.
Big bounce back year. I think I don't know how good that team's going to be. Everyone is loving Shane Beamer. They had 7 wins a year ago. The year before that, when he was not there, they had 2 wins. Shane Beamer has that connection with Spencer Rattler all the way going back to when Spencer Rattler was at Oklahoma a few years ago and Shane Beamer was still there. I like the offensive mind of Amarcus Satterfield. I think he's a good offensive coordinator and will be a good offensive coordinator. I look at Spencer Rattler in South Carolina and the SEC. Yeah, it's tough. We all know that. I think individually, though, Spencer Rattler is going to have a big season, but from a team standpoint, it's going to be tough just because of the conference that you play in.
Michael Penix Jr., the king of running out of bounds, is now going from Indiana.
No, that was a touchdown.
To Washington.
Whoa.
Forwards or less.
That was a touchdown.
The 2-point conversion was out of bounds, no good. Penn State was robbed.
It was a successful conversion.
The ball was clearly out of bounds. The referees.
What was the ruling?
Blind.
What was the ruling?
Listen, the referees, just because you rule does not mean it's right.
What was the ruling? What was
the
it ended up being called?
The ruling was incorrect and it was inbounds.
What?
And now Michael Penix Jr. is taking his talents.
Stop.
From the Midwest to the West.
No. You're not just going to jump over that. What was the exact
ruling? I said
ruling?
Inbounds. They ruled him inbounds. They said it was a good conversion.
And what happened because of that?
Penn State lost. They were robbed.
To Indiana 2 years ago?
2020, yep.
Ah.
The season was derailed before it even got started.
Your own five?
They didn't.
please. Nonsense. Okay, set it up. Go ahead.
Michael Penix Jr. going from Indiana to now all the way to the Pacific Northwest at Washington.
With Kalen DeBoer.
Friend of the show.
Nah, I can't say that. He's only been on the show once.
Okay.
Nice guy. Great interview.
Been on the show.
Haven't heard from him ever since he got the job at Washington, so.
Forgot about us. Interesting.
I don't know if it's him.
Oh.
Because he did get back to me after he got the job. He texted back with me when I sent him a message and congratulated him to basically set up for him to get on the show. After I was told to reach out to people in the Washington Communication Department, that's when I've not heard back, which it always stinks when
interesting.
The guy said he's willing to do it and then it's a communications department that doesn't even respond or return an email. So it is what it is. But Michael Penix Jr., injury concern. I like the Indiana program. I think Tom Allen's a very good coach, one of the more underrated coaches in the country. He's done some good stuff there at Indiana, which is a tough place to go win some football games, and he's done that. But Michael Penix Jr., I feel like any time people are ready to say, okay, he's going to have a good year, he's going to have a great season, he gets hurt. That's why he's an injury concern to me. I don't really have high expectations for him at Washington, and especially with the new head football coach taking over.
And finally, Jackson Dart going from west to east, USC now to Ole Miss.
Go thrive with Lane. Lane Kiffin is an offensive genius in college football. I love what Lane Kiffin does on the offensive side of the ball. I loved watching Ole Miss the last 2 years with their quarterback in Matt Corral. I don't know what Jackson Dart's going to be. A lot of people were optimistic about him with this time at USC when he's been able to get on the field. It's not going to be because of lack of coaching. Because Lane Kiffin, even if you may not love him, even if you think he's polarizing, even if you don't think he's a great coach, he is a really great offensive mind. And, yeah, there's a lot of changes. Yes, you lost a lot of talent. You now are going to be put in a system where you're going to be given the opportunities to succeed individually for at least the season. I want to see if you could go thrive with Lane Kiffin. What are your thoughts on Jackson Dart, by the way?
I'm excited. I think it's one of those plug-and-play systems where anyone that's kind of playing quarterback with Lane Kiffin is going to have success.
You're right. I'm more optimistic about the system than the quarterback.
Right, and he's talented. He should fit right in.
All right, real quickly to review. Keaton Slovis, just tell me if you agree or disagree. Expecting big things was the words that I used.
I would agree. I think I have a bounce back year.
Caleb Williams, go meet the hype.
100%. 100%.
Isn't it weird? First year, and we had a lot of big jobs open. Anything short of winning the Pac-12 would be a little bit disappointing this year for USC.
If they're in the game, I would disagree. I think making the Pac-12 game, they lose to US. Let's say if they lose to Utah, and Utah's like a, if they go to the playoff, I would say it's still, for year number one, a success.
Quinn Ewers, beat out Arch now.
I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. This is a big chance for him to put Arch on the bench for at least a year.
And that is one of the biggest talking points in college football. It may not have had the conversation yet, but that will be one of the biggest talking points throughout the entire season because you know it. Once the season gets underway, it's when will Alabama lose? Ohio State, I know they have a tough game up against Notre Dame early, but if they survive that, a lot of people are going to be all in on Ohio State this year. Georgia's a really good program. Clemson needing a bounce back season. Other than that, though, and we're having this conversation, who's going to be in the top four? It's a little humming, humming, humming. Utah, how much they move the needle? Oklahoma, we know, very big time program. But Texas, one of those mega brands. And we like to talk about the now, but we also look ahead to the future. That Arch Manning conversation is going nowhere. But it could really be decided this year based off the play of Quinn Ewers this year, who also was once a number one quarterback. People, I don't want to say forget about that.
I was just going to say.
But there's even differences with the top dogs. Like, you're number one. Then there's number one with the last name Manning. It's a little bit different in the way that we talk about it.
And Quinn Ewers graduated high school early because he was that good and ready to go.
Get that straight cash, homie.
And week two, Alabama at home. If he wins that game, plays well, you could say he'll kind of ride that for a while.
Dylan Gabriel, win Big 12.
Absolutely. You got the talent there. No excuses.
Bo Nix, average to me.
Yeah. I think it'll be more bad than good.
Spencer Rattler, big bounce back year.
What's big? I guess, like, in South Carolina, like, for, like, South Carolina terms, like, is he going to, like, I think he'll play well and kind of resurrect his stock, per se. I don't think he'll be a first-round pick next year.
I think he'll play himself into a second-round pick.
I'd agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah. I think it's
fair. And I think that's a big bounce back year for a guy that got benched and was supposed to be a Heisman finalist and didn't even
Finish the season.
Didn't even, he got pulled in that Red River Showdown game.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Michael Penix Jr., your favorite player in college football, injury concern.
Absolutely. I think the most games he's played in a season is 6. That's an issue.
Yeah. And then we already talked about Jackson Dart. So that's 4 words or less. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, I think I know what Michigan is doing, and I'll run this theory by you when we come on back in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's hear from the head coach of the defending Big Ten champions. How about that, Hickey? Do you like the ring to that? The defending Big Ten champion, Michigan Wolverines, and their former, and their, the coach that got it done last year, Jim Harbaugh. You like that?
I'm glad you're saying it now. You won't be saying it too much in a few months.
Yeah, but what does that mean for your school?
Nothing. I don't think Penn State's winning.
Yeah.
But, hey, soak it in while you can.
But that's the most pathetic part about being a sports fan, when you're rooting more for another team to lose rather than your team to win.
Well, no, I'm just saying, they are the defending champs now. Soak it all in, because it won't be that way in a few months. That's all.
Michigan in the Big Ten, where do you place them this year?
Second. Distant second, though.
Ah, so second.
In the East, yeah.
How about the overall Big Ten?
Probably third. I think Wisconsin would be better.
Okay. I think Michigan is, yes, the second best team in the Big Ten overall. Ohio State's one. And I hope both those teams are undefeated. Undefeated going into that huge showdown. The game, Thanksgiving weekend, that Saturday. Oh, I just made a monumental mistake. Oh, I'm an idiot, Hickey. Oh, this is bad. This is really bad. I just realize I'm on this in this New York Rangers group, and this New York Rangers group, it's for tickets. I bought 2 tickets for this year already, or 2 games that I'm going to go to. One's February 26th. Saturday, 1 o'clock, November 26th. At the Garden, Rangers welcome in Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers. And with all the rivalries you have that weekend, that's a tough weekend for me to go to a Ranger game for 2.5 hours. Very tough. I can't believe I just did that.
Right in the worst time possible, 1 o'clock.
Oof. Yeah. And you know why I picked that weekend? Well, first off, it's the Oilers and McDavid coming to town. But there was a week after that, conference championship week. I'm like, oh, I got. Can't miss conference championship week. I got to be in front of a television. Yeah, that was a bad blunder by me. So I apologize. I guess that's a 1 o'clock game. The game could still be going on when I get out of there. How long these college football games, they could take 4.5, 5 hours. It's crazy.
They are the one sport that is not concerned about shortening the game.
See, this though annoys me though. Forget the whole game. Just going back to your point. Like, look at you. You're taking all these shots at Michigan. You're saying, oh, they won't be saying that in a few months. And I go, all right, where do you think Michigan's going to be? I thought you were going to be a lot more mean to them. And then you say, oh, they'll be the second best team in the East and the third best team overall in the Big Ten.
I'm not high in the Big Ten this year, I'll be honest. I don't think there's going to be a lot of good teams.
Penn State football has broken you.
Not that. It's just they're not going to be great. Michigan State thing, I think it's going to take a step back.
Yeah,
Wisconsin's not very good.
You get this false hope.
Classic Iowa.
You usually develop this false hope and this crazy optimism just working with you the last few years and knowing you the last few years, whether you were on the show or not. You're always chirping away about the Big Ten this, Big Ten that, Big Ten this, Big Ten that, SEC, you better be scared, blah, 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 blah. All these crazy takes from you. And now it's, Big Ten, ho-hum this year. Other than Ohio State, there's really nothing in the Big Ten.
Just calling it how I see it. That's the way I always do it. Calling it how I see it.
Yeah, but if Michigan was, let's just say, had the name of Wisconsin instead of Michigan, I think you'd be more optimistic on Michigan this year. You're anti-Michigan.
I hate Michigan. You look at what they're
losing.
You hate
Michigan.
I hate Michigan. I would agree, but I'm also trying to be objective as well. I gave them credit when they smoked Ohio State last year, and I think this year they just lost too much.
Best two edge rushers,
you lose your both coordinators, your best defensive back, 2 offensive linemen. Here you have Ronnie Bell back, but also who's throwing the football right now? You have no idea. Now the quarterback's really capable of airing the ball out that much. What is that going to do? You lost Hassan Haskins, your bell cow running back, who's carrying the offense last year.
Well, you haven't seen enough of McCarthy, if we're being fair.
So I don't see a lot of optimism around this Michigan program for this year, personally, as in terms of contention for a college football playoff and Big Ten title.
Now, I know our website's all funky now, so I would go back to the website to reference it, but that's basically non-existent now in our company anymore, so it is what it is. So I can't go back to reference it, but I think I saw on Twitter today that Josh Perry, who is a Big Ten analyst, he does Field of 12, right, Josh Perry?
Big Ten Network, Field of 12, he's all over the place.
He's Ohio State guy, though.
Yes, national champ.
I think he was on with DA this morning. I don't know if you saw this, but I think he was on DA this morning. You know who he picked to win the Big Ten?
He picked Michigan?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Even with Ohio State's defensive concerns still, I don't see how you could sit here and pick Michigan in good conscience. I don't see
now,
that.
Don't get me wrong. I think Ohio State is going to win the Big Ten this year, but I thought that was fascinating that Josh Perry said that earlier this morning with DA, that he is taking Michigan to win the Big Ten.
And they're going to Iowa and winning? Pfft, I don't know how that's happening. They're 1-3 against Michigan State at home.
Is it impossible to go win in Iowa?
It's a tough place to play.
I know, but it's not as if
they make the game ugly.
They're this great program. They're a good program.
No, but they play a style that is tough to beat. It's annoying.
Now, I should have told you to pull this audio for the show. And maybe I was dreaming this today. And I don't think I'd be dreaming about Josh Perry on the DA show. But I did see a headline from this. Oh, yeah. CBS Sports Radio. Josh Perry thinks Michigan is the Big Ten's best. Can you do me a favor? If I pull this up right now, can you play this live on the air without having to like record it and then play it? Can you just play it right off the computer in front of you? Is that possible?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to text this to you, and I want to see if the audio meets the headline. And I'd have to think, since Cap, I believe, runs a CBS Sports Radio account when DA is on the air, Cap is not usually someone that will mislead someone and be all, how Andrew Siciliano would say, very clickbaity. So before we get into this Michigan conversation, I just texted you the link. Let me know when you have it.
I have it.
Okay. We can listen up. This was Joshua Perry, who's tremendous on the air, earlier this morning on the DA show.
You watched what happened a year ago, and nobody expected that. You go and you beat Ohio State, and you win the Big Ten, and you make the college football playoff. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Joshua, you know, they lost their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator and Hayden Hutchinson, David Ojabo, and you know, Chris Hinton and Dax Hill and Josh
Rock aren't
there,
Becky,
on defense anymore. I get it. I totally get it. But now you got a situation where Cade McNamara did all that for you last year. He might not even be the starter. You might get a more talented quarterback in there in J.J. McCarthy. You've got Blake Corum, who was playing banged up last year at running back. You know, even though Haskins is gone, he's going to be a really good player, and so is Donovan Edwards. They're going to split carries there. And then Ronnie Bell is going to be healthy at the wide receiver position. They're probably four deep in that wide receiver room. Got really good tight end play. And then defensively, it feels like they understand that their approach has to be that it's not going to be Hutchinson, Ojabo creating all your plays. We've got to be a lot of guys stepping up. All of that to say that when they go to Columbus for their last game, they're going to be undefeated, and Ohio State's going to be undefeated heading into that matchup. And so it puts the Big Ten into this position to where whoever wins that game probably is going to win the Big Ten Conference. And then could you make a case for two Big Ten teams to get in? And that's where I think that situation can happen.
Your reaction there, hot take, Icky.
I personally, I don't see it. I think you're asking too much of the quarterbacks that haven't been able to show it. I think defensively, even as a defensive guy himself, Joshua should know. I think he's asking too much for a defense.
Whoa, you're calling out Joshua Perry here.
No, I just don't, like, he's optimistic. I'm not.
A defensive guy, he should know?
I think he's just asking a lot for a defense that lost three elite players. I mean, Ojabo would have been a first-round pick if he was healthy. So you would have three first-rounders off your team. And last time I checked, Michigan's not Ohio State. Michigan is not Alabama or Georgia, where you have, you know, you're able to reload on the fly with guys that sometimes are even better than the guys that were just drafted. I don't think they have enough talent right now to be able to reload and not take a step back after losing such talented players last year. That's all.
They have a preseason schedule to start out the year.
They do.
Colorado State, Hawaii, Connecticut. Then they play Maryland with Talia Tungavailoa. They're at Iowa, at Indiana. Then they play Penn State, Michigan State, at Rutgers, Nebraska. We'll see if Scott Frost is even coaching then. Illinois. and then they play Ohio State. Outside the Ohio State game, where are their losses coming and how many this year?
I could see Iowa. You may laugh. I think Penn State's very talented. We'll see how they play. And I think Michigan State's going to be a problem.
I thought you were just down on Penn State. But now Penn State's very talented?
Well. They play him well.
Is that quarterback of yours, the youngster, the guy that's a number one recruit, going to find a way to get on the field this year at all?
By then, I hope so. Drew Aller, I hope so. Sean Clifford, nice guy. He'll be very successful off the field when he graduates at 35 years old.
You know, I'm actually disappointed.
Why?
I do a big part about football season. I enjoy your false hope. And I think the last 2 years you provided so much false hope with Penn State, where in the 2020 year you said they were going to go to the Big Ten championship game and win the entire thing and be a dark horse to go to the college football playoff. They started out the year 0-5 or whatever it was. Then last year, after you lose to Iowa, don't worry, they'll get their revenge in the Big Ten championship game. You were spewing up all that nonsense. So I think after 2 years of just going to the well a little bit loopy, and then just falling flat on your face right as you're about to step to go get another sip from the well. Now, you go into this year as if, oh, I'm not expecting anything, and I don't even think they're going to be good, and you're trying to work your way into the optimism that will inevitably come, but you just don't want to get disappointed again. You were like the kid on Christmas that asked for the big gift, and then you get disappointed, so then you ask for a crappy gift and then hope your parents surprise you. That's what you are now.
I am managing my expectations for 2022. This is a team where in previous years, I have hoped.
Be pompous. Be a jackass.
Believed without seeing it. Now I want to see it before I believe. Sue me.
Jeez. What are your thoughts on the Colts this year?
Super Bowl champions.
There we go. Then we get the delusional hickey. Let's hear from Jim Harbaugh. He explains the QB competition and why it's continuing now into the season between Cade McNamara and J.J. McCarthy.
It is a process. I mean, for me to stand up, I mean, no person, I mean, that's biblical. No person knows what the future holds. And it's a process and it can be based on performance. We're not going to withhold, you know, any good thing. You know, both have been tremendous quarterbacks. We think that both are capable of leading our team to a championship. So, I mean, That's good. We're going to keep cultivating that. And some people have asked, you know, was that, you know, how'd you come to that decision? And, you know, was it based on some kind of NFL model? No, it's based biblical. You know, Solomon, he was known to being a pretty wise person.
What? Wait, we're going biblical now over a starting quarterback? I like Jim Harbaugh. But are you kidding me? Well, let's not make this more complicated than what it is. I know what's going on here. Jim Harbaugh thinks it's going to eventually be J.J. McCarthy. But he has loyalty because Cade McNamara won him a Big Ten championship. So even though McCarthy's the better player, he wants to make sure that he's making the right decision, which he already should know because you had a quarterback competition. And since his schedule is such a cupcake schedule early on with Colorado State, Hawaii, who just lost by 1,000 points, you have UConn as well, he could see a little game action and some more game action because McCarthy did play in some games last year, obviously, against Colorado State, Hawaii, and UConn, where one game you're going to have the starting quarterback be McNamara, then the next game it's going to be McCarthy, and both will see the field during those games, and then by the UConn game, that's going to be the one where let's see what he does. And I would think it's going to be McCarthy, and then by Maryland, he'll name McCarthy the starting quarterback. But this screams to me, as a coach who thinks it's better to go with McCarthy, but since the guy from a year ago played a major role in him winning a Big Ten championship, the timing of it is bizarre, and he just doesn't have the cojones to make the decision right now, so he wants to wait a little bit, which I just think is foolish. Go with the guy that thinks gives you the best chance to win and not do this platoon system that they're going to go through the first 2 weeks.
That's a problem. This is not Pop Warner football where everyone's getting, you know, a participation trophy.
But it's not going to kill them. Like, Kelly Bryant played some games before Trevor Lawrence took over. It worked out okay for Clemson. I'm not saying either of these quarterbacks are going to go beat Trevor Lawrence, but we've seen coaches have bizarre loyalties to guys that played really well for them from a season ago. It happens in college. You think that this is going to affect them against Colorado State, Hawaii, or UConn, Maryland?
But those games you should win those games no matter what.
No, they're going to win those games easily.
If J.J. McCarthy has not shown that he's as good or better than Cade McNamara by now. We're going to see it against, I mean, I'm with you, these teams stink. No disrespect to Hawaii. Is him playing good against Hawaii, which is basically a practice squad team at this point, going to really cement him being quarterback one?
I think it's just the final process in crossing the T's and dotting the I's that he wanted to extend this process. If I was him, I wouldn't extend this process. I would say, okay, it's over with. We had a QB competition. McCarthy won. McNamara lost. That's what I would do.
I mean, I'm with you. I mean, you had spring practice. You've had training camp. You've had the summer. You have more than enough time to figure out and make a decision.
Solomon said, though, things. And that's what Harbaugh's going off of.
I wonder who's getting chopped up. Which quarterback? Is it who are you cutting up? Is it going to be McNamara or McCarthy?
This is not. I programmed a religious station once. We're not making this now into a religious station, okay? I have done that before in my career. First job out of college, you were the program director of a sports station, also a program director of a religious station as well. That's going to end the religious conversation now for today. It's above my pay grade. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a timeout. When we come on back, when is Scott Frost going to get fired? We'll delve into that next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. How'd it go this weekend, Ryan? You ditched your girlfriend who was out of town for an entire week? You had a little fantasy football draft, fine, but then on Saturday night you said, honey, I'm not coming home. I'm not coming back to the apartment. I'm staying at my folks' place to watch preseason on a meaningless game between the Colts and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It went exactly how I always said it was going to go. It went as expected. Tremendous. Great day. Fantasy draft outside. Don't really love my team.
Did you finally, though, tell your girlfriend that the reason why you were not coming back to the apartment on Saturday night was because you had to watch the big Colts game? That's not really a big game. But did you actually tell her that?
Well, yeah. She didn't care.
She didn't care.
Yeah, why would she care?
Talk to me in a month.
Okay.
When you get ready for a big Colts game that actually does exist, not this preseason, and she goes, we're going apple picking.
I can promise you right now, this conversation.
Apple picking on a Sunday. Oh, I can't wait for
that. How Friday's conversation went, well, exactly how that conversation will go. It's not happening. Sorry. And I'm not going to end up going. It's going to be exactly what I want.
And then Hickey will be on Hinge in about a month, month and a half. Hickey Hinge. Got a nice little ring to it. You get your profile.
That's what
back
it comes
up
down to. So be it.
The out of existence for the last 5 years. Now it's going to be right back up that Hinge profile. You know it and I know it. This is going to come back to bite you. You just don't want to accept reality of the situation right now.
No, I'm in a good spot. I tried to warn you guys. No one wanted to listen.
I don't know.
I tried to tell you.
All I know is you didn't listen to Spike. You didn't listen to Carl Dukes. Those are men that have a lot of experience. A lot of experience. And you did not listen to Spike Eskin, our boss, and Carl Dukes. It is a great job on Afternoon Drive on the Game in Atlanta. You could also hear him on the weekends on CBS Sports Radio. Talking about people that don't do a good job, Carl and Spike do. I was more so talking about Hickey's bad decision here. But talking about people that don't do a good job, how about this transition for you? Scott Frost. I should have just stayed at UCF. I know you go back home to Nebraska, all that stuff. You lose the opening game of the season in Ireland to Northwestern. And this was a game that I thought they would win. They're up 28-17, and then for some reason when you're up, you know, you're up, you're not down, you're up 28-17, you thought it was a smart decision to onside kick it. You don't get it. Northwestern scores a touchdown. No offense, no offense, no offense. And you throw a pick, and the next thing you know, Northwestern is up 31-28, and that's the final score of the game. I know it's more than just one decision, but this is going to get magnified as the turnaround, and that was the impetus of the turnaround for Northwestern. It's not the reason why Northwestern won the game, but it started that comeback. There was no reason to onside kick it there. If you're a Scott Frost, Ryan, I've seen a lot of bad decisions. That's as brutal as they come.
That one decision underscores and is the kind of perfect encapsulation of his career at Nebraska. Like they are somehow 5-21 in one score games, and they have now lost 7 consecutive games by one score, which is a college football record. It's not an accident now that you can't win close games when you see stupid decisions like up 11 in the third quarter and you're rolling, go, let me just kick an onside kick, and instead open the door for Northwestern to make a comeback. That is why Nebraska has always come up short in these close games, and that onside kick is the perfect encapsulation of just why this team can't close and why he's about to be fired.
He's 4-8, 5-7, 3-5, 3-9, and now starts the year off 0-1. Imagine if you're a Nebraska fan that travels out to Ireland for this game, and you're probably thinking they're going to win, but it's not a lock of the century, and you're having a great time. Didn't we have the concession stands basically go down there? The credit card system could connect online, so they're giving out free beers. They're giving out free food. Oh, what a wonderful trip. You're in Ireland getting ready to see your Nebraska team play. You're getting free beer. You're getting free food. You're up 28-17. Yeah, this is awesome. Oh, we're going to party all night long in Ireland. This is going to be great. And then your coach made a boneheaded decision. Now, I don't think you just go out there only for the game. I don't think the people that attended this, that are Nebraska fans, just go out there for Friday and Saturday and then they leave on Sunday. I think you make a week out of this trip and you just recently went to Ireland. But the rest of the trip, it's ruined. The rest of the trip, it's miserable. And maybe you went out the week prior and then you got out of town on Sunday. But that stinks if you went out there. And a part of the reason why you lost is your coach had the unnecessary onside kick. That's a brutal, brutal pill to swallow if you're a Nebraska football fan, Ryan.
You want to hear something funny?
Go ahead.
Bo Pelini was fired at 67-27. That was his record at Nebraska when he was fired. If Scott Frost wins 50 straight games,
yeah, I saw that,
he would not have a better winning percentage than Bo Pelini when he was fired. 50 straight. Like, that's how bad he has dug himself in. It is.
Well,
you're right.
It's also amazing how these programs that are considered big brands, when they get into these patches of just bad football, or they make a move and then they don't recover from that move, how many times they try to assert that they're back or they got their guy, and then you usually, like 9 times out of 10, that team or that program ends up failing when they think they get their guy. And when Scott Frost went there, he's coming home. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And now we're going to have a discussion on when is Scott Frost going to get fired in season by Nebraska. It's kind of crazy how that works and how frequently it does happen, Ryan.
And also, it could serve as a lesson for schools and teams going forward. If you kind of are on the fence, going back and forth, should we bring him back? Should we not? More times than not, the right answer is just say, let go, time to go, time to bring someone else in.
Okay.
Gets better.
Let's play the game here that everyone loves. When is Scott Frost going to get fired? First off, does he make it through the season? And then I'll throw out the potential dates.
I don't think so.
You don't think he makes it through the season?
I don't.
North Dakota. Is he getting a big bounce back win next week?
He wins, but he'll get fired if they lose. That's for sure.
Georgia Southern.
Win that one.
They play Oklahoma. They'll lose.
They will lose that game.
By 3 touchdowns, right?
They might keep it close. And then lose yet again. They did that last year to perfection.
Indiana.
I mean, look, they're better than they're going to win that game.
Greg Schiano and the Fighting Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
Where is that game?
That game, it's at Poopy Stadium.
Shy Stadium? Yeah. They'll win that game, but that's going to be close.
At Purdue.
Loss.
Illinois.
Brett Bielema, they have a hard-nosed squad over there.
It's a large coaching matchup.
That is. I will say I'll go win for Nebraska.
Minnesota, row the boat with P.J. Fleck.
Loss.
Row the boat. At Michigan.
Loss.
Wisconsin.
Loss.
At Iowa.
Loss.
The only way he makes it through the season is if, just because of nostalgia, they don't want to fire him in season and they just wait until next year. But that could hurt programs. This is why it's tough to take over at your alma mater. Because, like, even Jim Harbaugh ended up working out for him. But it can leave a really bitter taste in your mouth. Really bitter taste. Especially if this guy gets fired and ultimately you didn't win enough football games, and that's what this business comes down to. I think, you know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. I think he makes it to the season. And they just wait till after the season. Like, you'll get that announcement leading into the Iowa game. We're going to mutually agree to part ways afterwards, and then that's how he gets it through the season. That's what's going to happen, Hickey.
Like an Ed Orgeron LSU situation from last year?
Except he's not going to get a send-off. He may get a boo-off. He's lucky that last game of the season's in Iowa and not at Nebraska. Zach Gilb Show, CBS Sports Radio. News brief next.